I have been lectured to by heterosexual people about what homophobia is and what I am allowed to feel oppressed by. Now it turns out that gay people are not the victims of homophobia. Homophobes are the victims of homophobia.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Rainbow Russians qualify for Olympic arrests, but none in Ireland dare call out homophobia, and Melissa Etheridge sings for the right to love. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 8, 2014. On the eve of the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics in the seacoast city of Sochi on February 7th, several LGBT rights activists were arrested in separate demonstrations across the country for violating Russia's so-called no-promo-homo law. At least 19 demonstrators unfurled the rainbow flag in Moscow's snow-covered Red Square in the early morning hours and began singing the Russian national anthem. Videos circulating online show the police arriving within a few seconds and in some cases dragging still-singing demonstrators to police cars. Ulrika Westerlund, the president of Stockholm Pride, was one of two Swedish nationals who were also detained, although they were released about an hour later after their passports were confiscated. Some of the Russian nationals were threatened, and at least two were roughed up inside the police station, according to email communications to the U.S. news site BuzzFeed from Westerlund, who relayed text messages from those still in jail. All the detainees were finally released about 24 hours later, and while many were shaken by the experience, there were no serious injuries reported.
Four LGBT activists, including a pregnant woman, were arrested in St. Petersburg before they could unfurl a banner on a bridge in the central part of that city, quoting Principle 6, the Olympic Charter's promise of sport without discrimination. Activists say that government officials must have been monitoring their phone calls because only those involved in the action knew about it ahead of time. They echoed similar suspicions expressed by the Moscow detainees because police had also arrived at their demonstration so quickly.
Nigeria's Roman Catholic Bishops' Conference has given its blessing to the country's recently enacted Same-Sex Marriage Prohibition Act. The law has become known as the Jail All the Gays Bill because it goes well beyond banning civil marriage for gay and lesbian couples. It also criminalizes all activities and organizations that support LGBT rights, public displays of same-gender affection, and even people who fail to report a suspected gay person to the authorities. A letter from Nigeria's Catholic bishops to President Goodluck Jonathan this week praised him for signing the bill, calling it a courageous and wise decision, and hoping that God will continue to bless, guide, and protect you and your administration against the conspiracy of the developed world to make our country and continent the dumping ground for the promotion of all immoral practices. Private consensual adult gay sex was already a criminal offense in Nigeria before the enhanced penalties of the Jail All the Gays bill. Convictions in the primarily Christian South bring prison sentences of up to 14 years, while Sharia courts in the country's Muslim North can impose a sentence of death by stoning. As many as 10 men are currently on trial in Islamic courts in the northern city of Bauchi for belonging to a gay organization.
Another draconian anti-gay bill in Uganda that at one time imposed the death penalty for aggravated homosexuality awaits the signature of President Yoweri Museveni. He called last week for scientific proof that homosexuality is an acquired characteristic rather than a genetic disposition before he signed the bill, which now reportedly imposes a maximum sentence of life in prison. According to The Advocate, LGBT news outlet citing Uganda's Observer newspaper, A group of ruling National Resistance Movement lawmakers who have medical backgrounds are assuring Museveni during a 10-day parliamentary retreat this week that homosexuality is not only socially acquired, but curable. Life is already difficult for LGBT Ugandans, but it's becoming worse even before the bill becomes law, which is almost a certainty with or without Museveni's signature. Two men were arrested just this week and forcibly examined for evidence of sodomy. What tipped off the authorities? The two men had watched Sex in the City, a film that police identified as gay porn.
In happier news for lesbians and gay men, Scotland has become the 17th country in the world to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. The Marriage and Civil Partnership Scotland Bill won final approval in the Scottish Parliament on February 4th by an overwhelming vote of 105 to 18. The new law specifies that religious groups will not be required to perform marriages of gay and lesbian couples, but may opt in should they choose to recognize such unions. But the measure was still opposed by the Church of Scotland and the country's Roman Catholic Church. Same-gender couples will begin marrying in Scotland before the end of the year. A similar law for England and Wales passed the British Parliament last year. Lesbian and gay couples are expected to begin marrying there late next month. The Irish government has scheduled a referendum on marriage equality for some time in 2015. Lawmakers in Northern Ireland have thus far refused to consider the issue.
U.S. District Court Judge Arenda L. Wright Allen announced that she would issue a ruling soon following this week's hearings in a lawsuit challenging Virginia's constitutional amendment banning marriage and any other form of relationship or contract for same-gender couples. Lawyers for the plaintiff couples have been assisted by the American Foundation for Equal Rights and their dynamic legal duo of Ted Olson and David Boyce, who successfully argued against the constitutionality of California's Proposition 8 last year. Virginia Solicitor General Stuart Raphael represented Attorney General Mark Herring in also urging the judge to overturn the law. His boss last month called the marriage ban unconstitutional and said that his office would not defend it in court. The losing side is expected to appeal Judge Allen's decision. Marriage equality is being pursued in several of the other United States. Two same-gender couples in Wisconsin filed a federal lawsuit this week challenging not only that state's 2006 voter-approved constitutional amendment banning marriage equality, but its so-called marriage evasion provision that also makes it a crime for Wisconsin same-gender couples to go anywhere else to legally marry.
Elsewhere, more than a dozen hooded thugs invaded a movie theater that was hosting an LGBT film festival this week in the Bosnian capital of Sarajevo. At least three people were injured in the melee that followed. Both Bosnian and Serbian gay rights groups were involved in planning the three-day festival, which was scheduled to screen some 30 films on LGBT rights and culture. Police are still reportedly investigating the incident. Eight people were injured in 2008 when radical Islamists attacked participants at the opening of an art exhibit on the eve of a first-ever planned Pride march in the city that was then called off.
But Pride was in full bloom this week in both Melbourne and Mumbai. Wearing a rainbow tie-dye T-shirt and with her partner Virginia Edwards by her side, Australian Liberal Party Prime Minister Tony Abbott's out-lesbian sister, Christine Forster, marched with a contingent of equality-supportive Liberal Party politicians at Melbourne's annual affirmation. The Age newspaper said that about 30,000 people braved sweltering heat to watch the march on Fitzroy Street in St. Kilda on February 2nd. Even though her brother opposes marriage equality, Forster said she and Edwards are determined to marry in Australia, but conceded that they're probably facing a long engagement.
And LGBT activists and their supporters staged the biggest ever Pride march in Mumbai on February 1st, seemingly in defiance of India's Supreme Court ruling that upheld the country's colonial-era anti-gay crimes against nature law. The colorful 7th annual march drew an estimated 5,000 people, both Indian citizens and visitors from abroad. One of the country's gay rights pioneers, Ashok Roy Kavi, told the Indian DNA news agency that, "If courts think they can brush us off and treat us like subhumans, they need to see how they have ended up giving the movement a shot in the arm instead. This movement will grow and succeed."
Legendary tennis pro and lesbian icon Billie Jean King had been scheduled to lead the official U.S. delegation to the Winter Olympics, but she had to drop out at the last minute because of the declining health of her 91-year-old mother. Betty Moffett passed away with daughter Billie Jean at her side as the opening ceremonies began in Sochi on February 7th. King's appointment to the U.S. delegation by President Barack Obama, along with several other out athletes, was seen as a pointed criticism of Russia's anti-gay law banning the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations to minors. Obama cleared up any confusion during an interview with U.S. Olympic broadcaster NBC earlier in the week. "We wanted to make it very clear that we do not abide by discrimination in anything," he said, "including discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation."
And finally, the London Gay Men's Chorus joined this week's global demonstrations against the Russian law by singing for equality in front of the Russian embassy during the same time that the three-hour Winter Olympics opening ceremonies were being held in Sochi. Stephen McIntyre, one of the organizers of the protesting serenade, told Gay Star News that, "We're going to be here singing as much as we can and doing whatever we can to make a bit of noise." For example,
"I love you, my oh my, my oh my, liberty, mountain high, yeah, yeah, yeah. If I lost you, would I cry, would I cry? Oh, how I love you, baby, 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 baby."
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 8th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Sarah Sweeney.
And I'm Rick Watts.
We'll take time out from ogling the Olympians to rock for Russian freedom later in the program.
It happens every day. No matter what they say, it's just because you're gay. Homophobia. It happens everywhere. You know it's out of fear. It's just because you're queer. Homophobia.
Can a gay person say what or who is homophobic? That's the debate engulfing Ireland ever since Panty Bliss appeared in mid-January on national TV broadcaster RTE's Saturday Night Show. The Emerald Isle's most well-known drag queen, real name Rory O'Neill, named several journalists and a Roman Catholic think tank during the show as homophobes. After they threatened to sue for libel, RTE hastily gave up a big cash settlement. That just threw more fuel on the fire, with allies and opponents arguing over both the broadcaster's action and Panty's comments. The entertainer was given time on February 1st to respond to the uproar on the stage of Dublin's Abbey Theatre.
It happens left and right. That's why we must unite. We gotta stand and fight that old homophobia. Homophobia.
Have any of you ever been standing at a pedestrian crossing when a car goes by and in it are a bunch of lads, and they lean out the window as they go by and shout "fag" and throw a milk carton at you? Now, it doesn't really hurt. I mean, after all, it's just a wet carton, and in many ways they're right. I am a fag. So it doesn't hurt, but it feels oppressive. And when it really does hurt is afterwards, because it's afterwards that then I wonder and worry and obsess over, what was it about me? I mean, what did they see in me? What was it that gave me away? And I hate myself for wondering that. It feels oppressive, and the next time that I'm standing at a pedestrian crossing, I hate myself for it, but I check myself to see what is it about me that gives the gay away, and I check myself to make sure that I'm not doing it this time. Have any of you ever come home in the evening and turned on the television and there is a panel of people, you know, nice people, respectable people, smart people, the kind of people who probably make good neighborly neighbors, the kind of people who write for newspapers, and they're all sitting around and they are having a reasoned debate on the television, a reasoned debate about you, about what kind of person you are, about whether or not you're capable of being a good parent, about whether you want to destroy marriage, about whether or not you're safe around children, about, you know, whether or not God herself thinks you're an abomination, about whether, in fact, maybe you are intrinsically disordered. And even the nice TV presenter lady that you feel is like almost a friend because you see her being nice on TV all the time, even she thinks it's perfectly okay that they're all having this reasoned debate about you and about who you are and about what rights you deserve or don't deserve. And that feels oppressive. Have you ever been on a crowded train with one of your best gay friends and inside a tiny part of you is cringing because he is being so gay? And you find yourself trying to compensate for his gayness by butching up a little, or by trying to steer the conversation onto safer, straighter territory. And this is you who has spent the last 35 years of your life trying to be the best gay possible. And yet there is still this small part of you that is embarrassed by his gayness. And I hate myself for that, and that feels oppressive. And when I am standing at a pedestrian bloody light, I am checking myself. Have you ever gone into your favorite neighborhood cafe with the paper that you buy every day, and you open it up, and inside is a 500-word opinion written by a nice middle-class woman, the kind of woman who probably gives to charity, the kind of woman who you would be totally happy to leave your children with? And she is arguing over 500 words so reasonably about whether or not you should be treated less than everybody else, about arguing that you should be given fewer rights than everybody else. And when you read that, and then the woman at the next table gets up and excuses herself to squeeze by you and smiles at you, and you smile back and nod and say, no problem, and inside you wonder to yourself, does she think that about me too? And that feels oppressive. And you go outside and you stand at the pedestrian crossing and you check yourself, and I hate myself for that. Have you ever turned on the computer and you see videos of people who are just like you in countries that are far away and countries that are not far away at all, and they are being imprisoned and beaten and tortured and murdered and executed because they are just like you? And that feels oppressive. 3 weeks ago, I was on the television, and I said that I believe that people who actively campaign for gay people to be treated less or treated differently are, in my gay opinion, homophobic. Now, some people who actively campaign for gay people to be treated less under the law, took great exception to that characterization, and they threatened legal action against me and RTE. Now, RTE, in its wisdom, decided incredibly quickly to hand over a huge sum of money to make it all go away. I haven't been quite so lucky. And for the last 3 weeks, I have been lectured to by heterosexual people about what homophobia is and about who is allowed to identify it. Straight people have lined up ministers, senators, barristers, journalists have lined up to tell me what homophobia is and to tell me what I am allowed to feel oppressed by. People who have never experienced homophobia in their lives, people who have never checked themselves at a pedestrian crossing, have told me that unless I am being thrown into prison or herded onto a cattle truck, then it is not homophobia. And that feels oppressive. And so now, Irish gay people, we find ourselves in this ludicrous situation where we are not only not allowed to say publicly what we feel oppressed by, we're not even allowed to think it, because the very definition, our definition, has been disallowed by our betters. And for the last 3 weeks, I have been denounced from the floor of the Oireachtas to newspaper columns to the seething morass of internet commentary, denounced for using hate speech because I dare to use the word homophobia. And a jumped-up queer like me should know that the word homophobia is no longer available to gay people, which is a spectacular and neat Orwellian trick, because now it turns out that gay people are not the victims of homophobia. Homophobes are the victims of homophobia. But let me just say that it's not true, because I don't hate you. I do, it is true, believe that almost all of you are probably homophobes. But I'm a homophobe. I mean, it would be incredible if we weren't. I mean, to grow up in a society that is overwhelmingly and stiflingly homophobic and to somehow escape unscathed would be miraculous. So I don't hate you because you're homophobes. I actually admire you. I admire you because most of you are only a bit homophobic. And to be honest, considering the circumstances, that is pretty good going. But I do sometimes hate myself. I hate myself because I fucking check myself when standing at pedestrian crossings. And sometimes I hate you for doing that to me. But not right now. Right now, I like you all very much for giving me a few moments of your time, and for that, I thank you.
That was drag queen Patty Bliss at Dublin's Abbey Theatre. The Irish government has promised to review the country's libel laws.
Freeman from Pansy Division. You've been listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine.
LGBT Russians are getting support from around the world as they face repression during the Winter Olympics in Sochi and of even more concern after the games are over. Lesbian rocker Melissa Etheridge is adding her voice with the new single Uprising of Love and donating the proceeds to the Russia Freedom Fund. Melissa Etheridge's single Uprising of Love is available from iTunes, with all the proceeds going to the Russia Freedom Fund. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Sarah Sweeney and Rick Watts contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride, Romanofsky and Phillips, Pansy Division, and Melissa Etheridge performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is funded by the Yavanna Foundation and listener support. Log on to thiswayout.org for in front of and behind the mic news and links to our podcasts, blog, and Facebook page. You can also hear This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on CHMA Sackville, New Brunswick, The Point, WBSU, Brockport, New York, KRUX, Las Cruces, New Mexico, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.